In 2017, there have been more than 2,400 migrant deaths in the Mediterranean Sea, many of them fleeing war and poverty in the Middle East and Africa and trying to reach Italy or Greece or Spain. But there's another extremely dangerous migration route that receives a lot less attention. Nearly 340,000 migrants and refugees have landed on the coast of Yemen since 2010 after traveling across the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden from countries in the Horn of Africa, places like Somalia, Ethiopia, and Eritrea. Accidental deaths are common, just like in the Mediterranean smuggling routes, but now aid organizations are documenting the disposal of migrants pushed overboard into rough seas by smugglers who were fearful of getting caught by authorities. William Lacey Swing is Director General of the International Organization for Migration.
There were two very tragic incidents. The first one took place on the 9th of August. There were 120 migrants who were forced from a boat in the Red Sea between Yemen and Djibouti, more or less, in that area. We know that virtually none of them were able to swim. We provided urgent medical care as well as food and water to 27 of the survivors. The next day, the 10th of August, there was another ship with 160 migrants on board, also forced into the sea off the coast of Yemen's Shabwa governorate. We found six bodies on the beach. We found another four later, and on the 12th of August, another two. So the sum total of all of those that we know of, the 280 people forced into Yemen's rough seas, 226 people survived, 41 confirmed dead, and 12 still missing. So the total number of presumed dead is about 53. Now, the Red Sea is very rough, and every time they make a crossing, they're taking a big risk, but particularly when they put their lives into the hands of smugglers, whom we've come to call the travel agents of death. The same thing is happening, of course, in the central Mediterranean between Libya and primarily Italy.
Is this simply an effort from smugglers to avoid authorities? They see patrol boats and they cast people overboard to avoid getting caught?
That's exactly right. They have been pushing migrants out of the boats for a long time, fearing that the security forces might catch them. And if their cargo is gone, then they cannot be accosted, in effect. That's what it is. And these people are also paying very large sums of money. We have anything from $500 up to several thousand. We don't know how much they're all paying, but we know that smugglers are making much more money than is realized. It's third only to running drugs and guns, frankly, and even more inhumane.
Well, we've been talking a lot, William Lacey Swing, on this program about the smuggling networks across the Mediterranean. You mentioned them from Libya and other places as migrants from Africa try to get to Europe. This is off the Horn of Africa. Can you describe how these networks operate and why do people from Ethiopia or Eritrea or Somalia want to go to Yemen?
It's a series of motivations. One, of course, is they're all fleeing abject poverty. As you know, there's a drought in several of these countries where actually a famine has been declared in four or five countries by the Secretary General. Some of them are fleeing for other reasons. Basically, they're economic migrants looking for work. They're not going to Yemen. They're not heading to Yemen. They're heading to the Gulf countries, particularly Saudi Arabia. About 5 years ago, I went to Obok in Djibouti to establish a migrant reception center to try to counsel them about the risk and dangers of smuggling. But if you cannot then at the same time offer them a job, they simply continue their journey. And then for years and years now, we end up flying most of them back home out of Yemen because they never can get into any of the Gulf states, particularly Saudi Arabia.
What are these smuggling networks like and what kind of risks are they willing to take for the lucrative trade that you're describing?
Well, it is exactly that, a lucrative trade. They are interlinked with the international criminal networks, the ones running drugs and guns, as I mentioned. There's three problems here. One is the preventive measures we can take, information campaigns, trying to spread the word. Secondly, is trying to protect the victims. And we've protected and sent home thousands and thousands of victims of trafficking and smuggling. But the weak spot in all of this, frankly, is the prosecution. We end up catching the small minnows, but never the big fish. And that, I think, is the biggest thing, cracking into that network. And frankly, trying to break up their business model, which depends on poor people fleeing, looking for work, who end up either in the sea or in a detention center somewhere where they can then scalp them for more money from home.
Do you feel like once it gets to the point that patrol boats from a local government, whether it's Yemen or Saudi Arabia or even Americans, apprehend these smuggling boats on the high seas, that by then it's too late, that interdiction needs to happen much earlier?
I mean, all of these efforts can help. In Libya, I just came back from Libya last week, and we are trying there on the ground to try to offer them alternatives to taking the risky trip across the Mediterranean. For example, if we believe they have a sound case for 1951 refugee protection, we can turn them over to our traditional partner, UNHCR. If they're weary from the journey or think they've made a mistake, we can take them home voluntarily. I put 134 Guinea-Conakry migrants on an IOM plane in Tripoli last week, 10 days ago, and we provide them some compensation, some money, so they can get life started again and return to their home with dignity. And that decreases the likelihood they'll try the journey again irregularly.
I wonder if the world hasn't sort of missed what's going on in the Gulf of Aden and the Red Sea and the area around Yemen and the Horn of Africa that you're describing.
I think it very much is a story that needs to be told. It is virtually an untold tale right now. I mean, we can document for you, and we have documented through our Missing Migrants Project, 3,700 who died in 2015. Last year, it was more than 5,000 just in the Mediterranean. And this year, we're already at about 2,400 deaths, even though the number of arrivals in Europe has gone down by about a third. The deaths remain very high, which means that the smugglers are very much still very active.
William Lacy Swing, thank you for joining us.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
William Lacy Swing is Director General of the International Organization for Migration.